Hi, in today's episode, we'll address the often misunderstood emotion of anger. How do we manage it and work with it as a tool to change things in our lives? Welcome back to Soul Speak. I'm Meg Michelson. And if you're a new person, thank you so much for giving this a try. I also want to say thank you for anyone that is liking and sharing and rating. Someone asked me, one of my listeners said, how do I rate that? I don't know either, to be honest, but my producer does, and he'll put it on the end of this episode. And he has it on the other episodes as well. Jacob is his name. So just know that it is on the end. And you can rate, I believe, on Apple and Spotify. And then, of course, on YouTube, you can comment and ask questions. And you can also email us. So just so you know, there are options. And I appreciate any feedback because it is really helpful to me. So thank you. And again, thanks for being here. So as I said, in today's episode, we're going to address that often misunderstood emotion of anger. A lovely young listener asked me, what can she do to get through that anger? And you know, that's a great question. And that's really a big question. Why is that a big question? Because one size doesn't fit all. One solution or one tool might work for one person and not their next door neighbor or not their spouse or not their child. Because we're all different. And some tools will work for a lot of people. We just might have to modify it so it is feeling comfortable for us. Because it's hard to do something that we're really uncomfortable with. Of course, we can learn it, right? And then it becomes more comfortable. However, when we allow ourselves to try something new and give it the time, remember, if we allow ourselves to give it the time, it might work for us. And if we allow ourselves the time to navigate the shifts that we're trying to make, because it does take time. It takes time and it takes trial and error to learn, try and try again. And we can find the right solutions. We can find the right tools that work best for us. And then that might shift. The tool that we've been using for a while, maybe we want to shift it and try something else. We're ready for a new one, because it's just like when we're driving down the road and we're too comfortable driving, we're all of a sudden not even paying attention to the road. Our bodies change. Our energy level changes. Hopefully, we become more light-filled as we become more awake. And then our toolbox grows. We might pull something up from the past, but it might be something else. And you know, there's so many ways to navigate anger. So pay attention to what's going on out there. There's a lot of books. There's other podcasts. There's other YouTube videos. Pay attention because there's a million good ways. You know, to me, anger is like a balloon that you keep blowing up when we're not careful. With anger, our chest gets tight. Our shoulders get tight. Our neck gets tight. And our jaw even gets tight. And just like a balloon, when we have filled it too full, that anger can't be contained any longer. You know what happens when you keep blowing air into a balloon? And you keep blowing air into a balloon. And you keep blowing air into a balloon. That balloon can no longer expand. So it pops and startles everybody around them. That's what happens to our bodies. Metaphorically speaking, of course, the body cannot contain any more restriction. So we collapse into a puddle of grief. Or we hurt our jaw or our tooth because we're clenching so hard. Or we blow our top at whatever or whomever is around us. We bring in too much inflammation in our body. Now, our bodies are built for miraculous reasons, but we really need to take care of them and not abuse them by running too much of an emotion that's not good for us. Either way, you know, if we run too much anger and all of a sudden we're in a puddle of grief because we feel disempowered, or we're now blowing our top at something or someone or the room, anywhere, whatever's around us. Either way, that's not healthy for us. And it's not healthy for those around us. We talked about this a little last week. We can pretend things are fine. And we can keep going and keep doing and keep leading and keep taking on more tasks and keep getting everything done and keep saying yes until we understand that we can't, until we get that aha, that God, this is why my shoulder's hurting so much, because I'm taking on too much. I'm taking on the weight of the world. Or this is why my jaw is clenching, because I'm doing, and I'm not releasing. I'm not surrendering. I'm not letting go. You know, we pop in one way or another. The beautiful piece is, and that gold is, that awareness that we start to see what we're doing. We start to see the pattern of anger. We start to notice how it's affecting our physical body. We start to notice how the people around us might be walking on eggshells because they're afraid that we might explode. We want to start to notice those things because awareness is beautiful and so key and one of those first steps. And then we can decide what we're going to do. So awareness is that gold. And then, of course, the gold continues if we take the next step into something healthy. Getting back up, showing back up for ourselves. That shows us how awake we are. And then as we're bringing in more experiences, it doesn't mean life is easier. Not in my belief system. But how we navigate it becomes easier. And that's important. I also hear sometimes people say anger just jumps out of nowhere. You know, we think it's out of nowhere. However, it really never is from nowhere. It's from some unresolved part of our history. A dear friend of mine and I were going on a walk the other day. She's a teacher for nursing students, and she's a nurse herself. And one of her classes, she taught them about unconscious bias. I love that term. That got me all excited, so I wrote that down to talk about today. What is unconscious bias? It can be anything, right? It can be if someone walks in the room and they remind us of somebody else, and all of a sudden we might treat them differently. Unconscious bias. We're biased towards them in a way because they're reminding us of something negative or something positive. Maybe because they remind us of something in our lives that was good, we might treat them better than we would have. Either way, it's an unconscious bias until it becomes conscious. And that goes back to really paying attention to those triggers, really paying attention to our feelings, really paying attention to what's underneath that. So when I'm angry about something, wait a minute, what's underneath that? And that's a practice that I've learned. I don't do it 100%, and I definitely don't do it perfect. And I've had some opportunities lately, for sure, to really work with that, what's underneath that. Because in the past, if I was mad at somebody, maybe I'd call somebody and say, oh, this is making me so mad. So instead of that, it's, what's underneath this? What is this triggering for me? That's a really good way to navigate anger. Why am I being triggered? What's underneath this? And you might have to ask that question multiple times. What's the memory, or what's the lack, or am I expecting too much of myself because I don't want to disappoint, or do I not want them to look bad at me, or am I mad because they're not talking directly to me? You know, whatever it is. But we want to go underneath when we have the anger. That is a healthy way to start to look at it. And then we become more conscious. So we want to be really awake, right? We really want to look at how consciously am I living? And can we do it 100%? I don't know. I certainly don't. That's not my goal, for me to be conscious 100%. But my goal is to be conscious way more than not. And so when we do that, there's much, much less opportunity for anger that's mishandled, because we are more aware of what's going on inside of us. And back to what that reader asked, how does she navigate the anger? By stepping back, by becoming more conscious, by not allowing the unconscious patterning to take the driver's seat, by saying, why is this triggering me? What's happened before this point to get me here? Because again, anger doesn't just come out of nowhere. It's how much have we stuffed and not dealt with. And now it's going to come out like, I'm just so mad. And I'm going to take it out on that person right there because they just looked at me funny. Well, what happened before that? Or what does that person remind you of? We get to become more awake. So I'm from a large family. I have four amazing brothers and five living sisters, one deceased. There were six sisters. There were 11 of us. Now there's 10. And one of my brothers, my brother Ken, he's the oldest brother, oldest son in the family. He passed away 2 days ago. He was an incredible man. And he was an athlete from the time he probably could walk. I don't know. He's older than me. But I remember all the photos. And I remember the times I knew him when he was a wrestler and a football player, basketball player. Just after high school, when he was 18, he was run over by a car. And he became a quadriplegic at age 18. He was in hospitals for a long time. And then he came home and my family took care of him. And man, that taught us a lot. That sure taught me a lot in my lifetime. Because I think I was in fourth grade when he was injured. So why am I bringing him up? Because there's so much around that has to do with anger. He had to live with very challenging circumstances. He never thought he would have to. He had to live with very challenging circumstances that most of us never have to. He had to deal with anger and with so many less choices than any of us. Why? Because he couldn't move his body the way he wanted. He watched his friends go off to college or work and get their own places or play sports. Like I said, he was an athlete. Well, when an athlete loses the capacity to use their body how they've always been used to, can you imagine how much frustration and anger and depression that might cause? He watched his friends get married and have kids. He watched his dad and his brothers golf and spend time at the hunting cabin. He had so many things that he enjoyed doing that he could no longer do, out of his control at age 18. And he, of course, lived many years until he was 69. He lived 51 years as a quadriplegic. And all that we do, sometimes our little things that we feel we can't control, causes us anger. We're not able to control the circumstances. We're not able to control the other person. We're not able to control the way that person's speaking to us. We're not able to control the driver in front of us. We're not able to control our teenage child. We're not able to control our pet. No, whatever it is. And Ken could not control his legs or his hands. And was he ever angry? Of course he was. I remember him being frustrated and angry. There were times I remember him being so angry at his situation and frustrated that he could not wipe his nose or pick up something that dropped on the floor. Not only that, but he had to rely on so many others to do his care. All of his daily care. So he could have been angry and never stopped in those 51 years. He could have been a complete ass to people. He could have been selfish and self-centered. When we are blowing up at people or yelling at our dog or mad at the driver in front of us, that's selfish because we're not thinking of anyone but ourselves. So being angry isn't selfish, but it's what we're going to do with the anger that can become that way, how we're treating others that can become that way. And he could have been angry for 51 years. He could have been so nasty to people and just grumpy, you know, like Scrooge. But what did he do differently to give himself less anger, to work through the anger? How did he live? And I want to bring that up because this reader asked, what can we do different about this anger? Because remember, when we are angry, there's different reasons. But one of it is we don't feel like we have choice. And life is all about choices and feeling like we have choices. So when someone's physical body is no longer able to run, walk, play football, play basketball, drive a car, all those things that we take for granted, we have choice. And some other people don't in that way, right? In how he could use his body, except he did. He did. And he started to realize that. He realized he had a choice. He could live in misery. and be pissed off at what's going on, or he could live to the best of his ability in a wheelchair and show other people, which was not his intention, I don't think, but to show other people this beautiful way of life through all of that hardship. He learned how to draw with a pencil in his mouth, and he drew beautifully. You know how patient he must have been, how many mistakes he must have made, and how would he even erase it? Because he couldn't just take his hand in the eraser. He did so much with his mouth. He went back to school, became a computer programmer, worked full-time at an insurance company. He chose to get out and explore. He jumped out of an airplane one time, did a tandem jump. We took him whitewater rafting in Wyoming on the rapids, and we had to hold him up because the water was freezing cold. There were so many times he chose to do things that were completely out of his comfort zone because he wanted to know he had choice. He wanted to be a human that understood we all have choices. And that helps us deal with anger. That's primary. Anger can come, remember, from those times we do not feel like we have a choice. We always have a choice. We can always choose what emotion we are going to hang on to for whatever given time. And it can thwart us or it can excel us forward. Anger also comes from feeling guilt, from disappointing someone. It comes from feeling like we can't change the past or we can't be there for others. And then we might get mad at them because they want something from us and we can't fix it. Think about the times that you've been there where you're angry at someone because they want something from you and you don't want it. And then you're mad at them for asking. Instead of recognizing, wait a minute, I don't actually have to be mad at them for asking. It's up to me to say yes or no, but I'm putting it on them and I'm angry at them. So how do we manage that? By allowing ourselves to go to the truth again. What's underneath that? Well, I'm a pleaser and I don't want to disappoint them. Or I want to feel like I'm in control of everything. For my brother, perhaps he felt remorse and anger for going to the place he went that night that he was run over. Maybe he sat and thought about, should I have stayed home? You know, we all have that. And maybe he went through that, but it wasn't the underlying thought. At least he didn't express that because he lived. He took risks. He did great things. He did not sit in the pit of despair. He didn't. And that's where anger can come from, right? When we feel out of control, hopeless, or the anger that comes from guilt because we sometimes feel we need others and we don't want to be a burden. I brought this up in an episode about a teenage girl that was mad at her mom because the teenage girl needed stuff from her mom and she'd get mad at the mom for needing. Instead of recognizing, oh, wait a minute, I'm biting the hand of the person that's feeding me and maybe I need to become more independent or become more grateful. But we don't want to be a burden, so then we might get angry. But again, because we're not consciously looking at what's underneath that. You know, I can't even imagine how much my brother Ken, how much of those strange, uncomfortable feelings he had to deal with because he relied on people so much all the time. And that was something he had to get comfortable with or not, right? He could have been angry about that too. Instead, he became humble and kind and giving and generous. A remarkable role model. He brings a smile. Every time someone thinks about him, he brings a smile to their face. So we can learn to use anger as a guide. And that takes mindfulness because when we are angry, remember, there's something not right. There's something that we have to look at differently. Maybe it's just to say, okay, what are my choices here? What are my choices? We can go into shadow martyr, or we can go into tyrant, want to be in control, or feel like we have no control. But that's not the truth. Those are stories. That's where our mind is taking us down these paths that really don't help us anymore. It takes that conscious thinking to recognize that we are able to make choices and that we are able to really look at, what am I feeling? Why is this anger masking what's underneath? Because that's what the anger is doing. It's masking what's underneath. So we want to go underneath. What's underneath that? What's underneath that? What's underneath that? And stay in the present time, because the anger oftentimes comes from something historical in our life, in our history. And then we have to bring it forward into present time. Wait a minute, what's this really about? Why is that person triggering me? Why is that person triggering me? Beautiful question to ask ourselves as much as we need to. What's underneath that? What's this trigger about? And perhaps instead of assuming and going into all that old storytelling dialogue, we can ask that other person, what's underneath that? And ask from that state of wonder. I wonder what's underneath that. Ask ourselves from that state of wonder. Go into surrender. This area of the body, the chest, the throat, the neck, the head, that gets tight, remember, when we're running anger. And it's can stay that way, and we can end up with jaw and neck and chest problems, hypertension, or we can let go, step back, take a moment, breathe, wonder, why am I so angry? What's going on? Not, why am I so angry? What's going on? But wonder, why am I so angry? What's going on underneath this? Because now we're opening up to the actual answer. But when we're coming at it from that place of ferociousness, we're still tight. We're still tight. Now think back to the balloon example. When we blow up a balloon and we blow up the balloon and we blow up the balloon and we blow up the balloon, and now we've stretched it too far and pop, it pops. However, as we're blowing up the balloon and we're recognizing it's getting too tight, perhaps we just let a little air out. You know that funny sound it makes? Let a little air out. That's what we can do for our human bodies. When we start to feel the anger, the tight, before we react, let a little air out. Step back, take a breath, raise the shoulders to the ears. With the exhale, drop them down. Let the throat relax. Let the breathing happen. Deflate the anger with our physical breath. Beautiful first step. And then we can become more aware of what's underneath that. Have a beautiful week. We're still in these intense times and beautiful times. We get to have both, right? We get to have the intense, and we can still have fun. Get out there. Find ways to see the joy and the magic and the beauty and fun. Find ways to laugh, because that really also helps us navigate the anger. Thank you for joining me, and I look forward to connecting with you next week. Hey, listeners, thank you so much for being part of the Soul Speak world. I really appreciate that. And if you're willing, and if you find this of value, would you please follow on any of the platforms you're listening to, whether that's Apple or Spotify or Google or any of the platforms. And of course, I love the ratings if you find this valuable. You can also follow me on YouTube and like and share. And all of that really makes a difference. Appreciate your participation. And of course, I really appreciate you being part of this world.